Good morning. This on. All right. Good morning, everybody. So glad that you're here. If you forgot again, please fill out that connect card that helps us connect. Also, you can find your sermon notes in the app. If you're doing that, someone told us last week that the notes button wasn't working. So thank you when you tell us those things. That helps us get that corrections, get those fixed. And I also, found out this week, for those of you who follow podcasts, our sermons are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, stuff like that. So you can just subscribe and you'll get those into your feed automatically if you want to listen there. So you can do that. So we're going to be talking today about supply lines for others. People have been asking me about this the whole series, like, how do I do this for other people? How do I do this for other people? And I've always said the first thing is to get your own supply lines. The first thing is to get these in your life, get support, and then find ways to set up for others. But today, we're going to be talking about how to set it up for other people as we wrap up the series, especially the next generation. I remember when I was in high school, I had a group of college students invest in my life. I wouldn't have said that I was in their friend group or anything like that. They had their own, you know, they hung out on their own, but they invited me in intentionally and they tried to teach me how to surf. I've never really got it. They pointed me to Jesus. They would have really important conversations with me. And maybe the best thing they did other than Jesus was they introduced me to punk rock. I mean, that was just changed my life. So, and here's the great thing. When I got to go into college, I didn't have to wonder how can I live my life as a college student because I'd already had college students investing in me. And this was in addition to my parents and my youth leaders and my youth pastor and other adults in my church and in my life. But these guys really intentionally took time to shape me. This is what the church has traditionally done for thousands of years, but what's happening is it's starting to fall apart. Chap Clark, in his book, wrote it many years ago, said that the overwhelming feeling in the church and outside of the church from young people is that they've been abandoned by adults. They feel like they've been left alone. And this goes back for generations. And the solution for many Gen Xers my age is then to helicopter their parent, to get involved in everything that their kids are doing. And the right solution is somewhere in between where we're actually investing and mentoring and providing support without trying to control every single solitary outcome. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about the role we all have in that. 1 million young people in America per year are leaving the church. Not just in the church, but in the culture at large. The New York Times just published a very, very discussed about article. It said how to fix the crisis in men. And the biggest answer was men need mentors. No one's really interacting in each other's lives anymore. We're kind of doing this isolation thing, or we're doing the digital thing. And I believe digital is really helpful. It helps you connect with people across distance. But digital can't replace the personal. And they can go together. Digital can be personal at times. But, I mean, you've got to find ways to do those things together and really be intentional about doing this, especially with our young people. So we're going to be talking about that today and having hope in doing it because it's not hopeless. And we can say, hey, we can actually invest in the next generation and make a difference. We can invest in other people and make a difference. And this supply line things we've been talking about really makes a huge difference. It does start with you getting support in your life. And then it moves to you finding ways to support others. If you don't get the support first, you'll tend to use the people you're trying to support as your support. You'll try to use your kids as your support because you don't have any of your own friends. Right? Instead of going, no, I have my friends. I'm your parent. I'm your mentor. I'm your whatever. Does that make sense? Our church, we do a lot about mentoring. For us, mentoring isn't just something you do kind of random and you can meet with people whenever you want. For us, mentoring is like an intense, let's talk about your walk with Jesus. It usually happens after you're already on a team or you're already in a life group. You can use the word a different way than we do. That's totally fine. But we have a huge heart for mentoring. We ask all of our leaders to mentor at least one person per year because we think that makes them better leaders, keeps them focused on the Great Commission, which is to make disciples, not run programs. And we just love that. So if you're like, I want to be mentored, we always have a few leaders who are looking for someone to mentor. So if you're like, I'm ready, push me, come talk to me. All right. Come talk to Pastor Rachel, Pastor Serena. Let's pray as we get started today. Dear Lord, thank you so much. Help us as we just make the commitment to invest in the next generation. God, I want to thank so much for our young people, everyone who's 30 or younger being here. They're doing something that's out of the ordinary. And I know, Lord, their heart is to find connection and especially connection with their peers, but also people who are older than they are. Lord, help us to prioritize this. Help us to hear your heart for our young people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. Get a Bible. Get your eyes on that. It's on page 525. If you want to use one of the Bibles around here, you can go digital. I'll have some verses up on the screen, but for the most part, if you can open up to that, that would be super helpful. All right, this is the very beginning of the book. It says this: these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to do what is right and just and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. It's specifically aimed at the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. What I want to do is just highlight the fact that the book of Proverbs has a posture of pursuit, has a posture of hope. It knows there's evil in the world. If you ever read the book of Proverbs, it'll be very obvious there are bad people out there and there's bad things going on. And sometimes bad people get good things and that they often succeed. It knows all of the evil in the world. And you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't sit back and go, those darn kids. What's wrong with this generation? Right? And that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. There's a famous quote by Aristotle says these kids are just, all they ever do is they're disrespectful and they don't take care of their hair and all this other stuff. And this is like back in Aristotle's day. And it just feels like the old always say what the old say and the young always say what the young say. But here's the book of Proverbs saying something different. It's saying, I know there's a bunch of nonsense out there. I know there's a bunch of foolishness out there, but I'm going to pursue young people and try to teach them wisdom. Do you see how that's different? Do you see how it's easy to criticize the next generation while you're sitting on the couch? The critics are always on the couch, right? The critics usually aren't on the field. The critics are in the stands. Everyone knows what the play should have been, coach. Right? It's easy to criticize when you're not on the field. It's a lot harder to say, I'm going to invest in the next generation. I'm going to pour into the next generation. I'm going to find those people. I'm going to put my life into them. I'm going to teach them the wisdom I've learned, including my mistakes. I have that posture of pursuit. I have a posture of hope. I'm going to do that. Many of you have heard about this movie, Across the Spider-Verse. It was a very well-known animated film that came out this year. And when they came out with the trailer for it, the commercial for it, there was somebody who used his computer to recreate the trailer shot by shot in Lego in his computer. He did that shot by shot. And the filmmakers reached out to him and said, this is so great. We want to get to know you. Turns out it was a 14-year-old who was doing this after school. And they asked him, posture of pursuit. They asked him, would you want to make a scene in our film, our Hollywood level, highest grossing other than Mario animated film of the year? Would you want to make a scene or two in our film? He said yes. So if you ever watch that movie, you see the Lego parts that was made by a 14-year-old young man because the filmmakers didn't think they were high and mighty, better than everyone. They said, we see talent. We're going to pursue it. And one of the biggest things that young people want is they want to be invited along with you to make a difference. We're doing Fight Hunger today. We're going to be serving alongside people. And if you're part of that event, I hope that you'll actually have some combos and not just put your head down and right? but actually get along there and be like, tell me about you. And guess what young people are going to do when you walk up to them and say, tell me about you? Why are you talking to me right now, right? Do you remember being young? Do the young people remember being old? No, you have the advantage. You have to pursue. You have to try. You see what I'm saying? We're all anxious. The young people are anxious. Old people are anxious. Everyone in between is anxious. You have to say, I'm going to do this Jesus thing. I'm going to do the Proverbs posture thing. I'm going to take that posture of pursuit. That's what we do here. I said it in the prayer. I'm going to say it again. If you're under 30, you're in this church, you've made an intentional choice to be somewhere where most people in your peer age, they said, this isn't relevant to me. And if you don't know this, if you're older, one of the biggest things that young people crave is connection with people older than they are. You know, let's make sure we do that then. Let's assume if our young people are here, that they're actually welcome for that. Come up and say hi. Okay, let's just make that our norm. And that's been our church, and we do that. Let's just keep doing that, right? Let's keep going. And you may say, well, what are some of the lessons to pass along? Well, Proverbs 1 talks about that again. My child, this is verse 10. If sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Turn your back on them. They may say, hey, come on, join us. Let's hide and kill somebody just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of all the good things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with stuff that we can take. Throw your lot in with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. One of the most important things you can pass on to the next generation is you become like who you walk with. You become like who you walk with. This is one of the big principles of supply lines. You need to make sure your inner circle is filled with people who are godly and helpful and challenging. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, no, I have to still be there for my friends who are a bad influence on me because I'm the only good influence on them. And I say to you, you need to be a good influence with other people who are good influences on those people who are bad influence. Okay, you should never be outnumbered as the good influence. Okay, that's just not how it works. That's not how ingredients work. Right? You got to have more of the good ingredients in. You got to have more people who are trying to shine the light. But if you're the only one, it's going to influence you. And right now people are like, especially our young people, like, how can I do it? I'm the only Christian I know. I'm the only one who walks this way. I'm the only one who has this morals. Here's what Proverbs 13 says. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. How many of you have had some friends who have dragged you down before? Come on, raise your hands. Don't lie. Yeah. You know, I won't ask you if you were the one who dragged others down. I won't ask you all that. Okay. But this is a lesson we need to pass on because when you're young, your friends are everything. And part of the reason why is because you have no other support system. As we engage and help them say there's other people who love you and care about you and are invested in your life, then it can be easier to say, hey, maybe for a season, I'm not going to have these one or two friends. Here are four people that Proverbs especially tells us to avoid, especially in chapters 1-9. Number one, people who love violence. People who love violence. Proverbs 4 says this, evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. They eat the food of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. Second person that you need to try to avoid or do everything you can to avoid, the people who are lazy. Proverbs 6, the little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. I just have to say real quick here, laziness means not doing your responsibilities. It doesn't mean sleep. Teenagers need more sleep. Just want to make sure I say that for all of you out here who are like, teenagers, all they ever do is sleep and all the time. Teenagers need extra sleep, okay? So what we're talking about is you're not doing your responsibilities. You're not fulfilling your responsibilities, okay? Number three is troublemakers, especially people who make trouble with their words, okay? What are worthless and wicked people like? They're constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of the eye, a nudge of the foot, or a wiggle of the fingers. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. I don't know about you, but this sounds like junior high and high school to me, right? It's like, did you know what they said about you? Right? And sometimes you need an older person in your life to go, it's fine. You'll be okay. You'll make it through that. You're good. Okay? We need that guidance. Fourth thing is people who are immoral. People who are immoral, especially in terms of sexual ethic. Wisdom, it says in Proverbs 6, will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty, and don't let her coy glances seduce you. Can a man scoop a flaming coals into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? There's a reason it says into your lap, right? It's a sexual temptation. It's like you can't scoop burning coals into your lap and not get burned. It's gonna burn you. It may seem enticing, but don't stay away. And I think the biggest thing in our generation, and unfortunately our adults are doing the same thing, is we're hanging out with those people. And then wondering why we feel more violent. We feel more sexually tempted. We feel more like gossip is fun. We feel more like, hey, we want to have the most comfortable life we can, not the most meaningful life we can. We miss out on those things. And I know sometimes as adults, we feel like, well, I'm not doing these things perfectly, so I can't pass them on. Sometimes the best thing you're passing on is how you've done it imperfectly. And you're sharing, I don't want you to have this in your life. Here's how I've messed up. I'm trying to pass this on. And if you do mess up, I'm still going to be there for you. You give this great network of support. And I know some of you are saying, well, what do I do when they don't listen? Or what do I do when I've tried to give this to my kids or my students if you're a teacher or if you're in youth ministry or people in the church and they're just like, whatever. Okay, boomer, right? What do you do when that happens? Well, here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 9. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. That's what we were just talking about, right? Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. How do you know if someone's a mocker or they're wise? You actually have to try. You have to have a posture of pursuit. You have to have a posture of hope. You can't just say, well, all young people are this. You have to say, hey, I'm going to let each individual, and I'm going to say, out of love, don't be pushy, don't be rude. Okay, don't give advice where it's not been asked for, but invest in somebody. And then if they seek more, then share more. And if they keep doing that, keep taking the initiative and then saying, well, what would you like to get coffee sometime? Would you like to hang out more? Keep taking that initiative. Everyone likes to eat, especially young people, right? That's the way. You just go like, hey, would you want to do this? Would you want to do this? I'll pay for it. It's easy. Okay. And here's the thing. When you are correcting people, you need to model that you're a person who's willing to be corrected. When you share your faith and your failures, when you are a person who routinely tells people, I'm sorry, here's how I've messed up, and that's known about you, others are going to be much more willing to hear your correction if you are willing to be corrected. Okay? I really appreciate the reflection in this room right now because I can tell what's happening is you're going, am I someone who's correctable? Do I apologize? How often is that on my lips? I really appreciate that in this room. It's really cool. Okay? People are looking for those who are doing life well, who have a good group of friends, who have support in their lives. They're not preachy. They're not like, you want to go to lunch and I can lecture you for an hour? I'll pay. Okay? No one wants that. They want people who are actually invested in their lives, who are doing life well in terms of their career, relationships, the people around them, but not perfectly. Not perfectly. But they want those people to invest in them. You know, one of the biggest problems for us is we're not always doing life that well. And in fact, we've done life so busy that we don't have time to invest in the next generation. And then we complain about what's happening to the next generation. Okay? I want to challenge you today to take time to invest in the next generation, to invest in others. I'm going to give you some ways how to do that here in just a minute. I want you to be intentional about that. Now, don't miss what I'm saying. If you're in your 60s, the next generation might be people in their 40s. Okay? If you're in your 40s, next generation might be people in their 30s and 20s. If you're in junior high, the next generation is our kids ministry. Church has done a great job for thousands of years of providing even our young people an opportunity to invest in those younger than they are. If you're a young adult, you can be helping out in our youth ministry. you're an adult, you can be helping out in our young adults, our youth, or our kids ministry. Okay, and I'm not saying it's just only in church, but I'm saying it's at least in church. So that every young person who walks in here goes, man, these adults, they just drive me crazy. They like me too much. Okay, people are genuinely interested in me. This is kind of like That's the kind of place you want to be. And they'll start telling their friends to go like, man, yeah, there's a whole bunch of adults that just keep asking me about me. And their friend's going to go, really? No one does that for me. Remember that study? The number one thing is young people feel abandoned. What if our young people said, there's a place where the adults are going to ask you, they're going to talk to you, they're going to say hi to you, they care about you. And I can't change what everyone's going to do, but I want to ask you today to be the person who says, I'm going to come into church, not only for me, not only to get me connected with God for my mess, but I'm going to come into church to try and pursue the next generation. Could you have that mindset? Could you make that a point? I'm not just here to talk to my friends. I'm here to reach out. Because the people who don't, you know what they always do? They always end up complaining about the next generation. They always end up complaining about the politicians and the future of our country. And I tell you what, the future of our country is in this room. God doesn't want you to change what's happening 1,000 miles away. He wants you to change what's happening 5 feet away in this room. It's easier to complain about what you're seeing on the news than to do the work, what God's calling you to do very easily in this room. And that's what I want to challenge you to, because it's doable. Let's make it happen. Yeah? So here's a few little tips. Number one, model. Model authentic faith. When I was a youth pastor, kids from 4 families came up to me on a Wednesday night when we had youth group, and they said, we're not going to be able to make youth group anymore. And I said, what's going on? Is it sports? Is it something? Is it just a season? And they said, well, it's kind of a season. Survivor, the TV show, changed their night from Thursday to Wednesday, and our parents won't give us a ride to youth group anymore. I laughed. I said, you're joking, right? And they said, no, like this is a big deal for our parents. They do a whole thing and it's like, you can't even talk unless it's commercial. And like, they tell us to go out of the room. Now I love that their parents were getting connected, but unfortunately their parents were connecting at the expense of their young people connecting for faith. It doesn't matter if you say to your family, faith is the most important thing. Your kids are watching what you do. So let's not just be people who say Jesus is the most important. Let's actually live it. Let's actually be consistent, right? You've heard me say, if you can be at school on Monday and work on Monday, then you can be at church on Sunday. Well, I adjust my work schedule so I can be back on Monday. Well, adjust your vacation so you can be back on Monday. Well, adjust your vacation so you can be back on Sunday. Your kids are watching when you go, hey, we can miss church. It's no big deal. But work, non-negotiable, has to happen. That's why the number one thing in our world right now that's causing anxiety and stress, not in our young people, in our adults, is workaholism. People define their worth on their work and what they make. And we know it's not true. We don't believe it, but we're starting to live it and believe in it. It's starting to mess us up. Okay? So you got to model authentic faith. You got to model resting. You got to model laughing. You remember how to laugh? Do you remember how to play? Do you know you can forget how to play? Did you know that? I'm not joking. I mean, some of you in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've forgotten how to play, how to be childlike, how to dance, how to sing. You know that that's why we work on this on Sunday morning during worship for you. We do that on purpose. It's like, don't forget how to dance. I've known people who had hip replacement and they were so happy because they go, I can dance again. Right? Some of you don't know, but you will someday. Someday you'll know that. Okay. Second thing is demonstrate that you know how to receive support and give support. Show that you know how to seek it out. Show that you know how to receive. I know a lot of people, they want to meet with young people because they go, I have everything figured out and I can't wait to tell somebody else. Instead of going, no, I don't have it all figured out. I'm a curious person. I have people pouring into me And so I'm pouring out into others. And go out of your way to specifically say, when I was meeting with my spiritual director, when I was meeting with my therapist, when I was in my life group, when I was meeting with my mentor, when I was talking to this person, take this card and hang it up in your house. Put it up on your fridge and go, here are the people in my life. Here are the gaps that I need to go. This is sitting on my desk so my staff know, even when I pour into them, others are pouring into me. That gives you credibility. That means you're not just a preachy preacher, right? It's not all you're doing. I used to say back in the day when I was doing youth ministry, you cannot be a leader in the youth group unless you are in a group of your peers. Especially if you're a young adult, because you know what happens to young adults who don't have a group of their peers? They turn youth group into a group of their peers. Right? You know what happens to adults who don't have their own Bible study? They use youth group as their Bible study. And when it gets into small groups, you know who's doing all the talking? The leader. Because they're going, this is what God's saying to me in these verses. Like, we're not here for you. We're here for the young people. Well, they don't talk because you're talking the whole time. Well, it feels like awkward silence. Yes, welcome to youth ministry. Awkward silence is part of what it's like. Same as teaching high school or middle school. It's just, that's part of adolescence. Don't you remember? Don't you remember those awkward silences? No. Bill, you may never have had an awkward silence. But yeah, other than that, here's some things. You need to let people pour into you. You need to model that. You need to pour that out into others. And I'd say the same thing for your kids. Same thing for if you have employees. Show people how you've let others pour into you. And then when you pour into them, it's going to have a much more credibility. Okay? It's almost unhealthy if you're trying to mentor people without being able to be mentored. It tends to never work out. Quick tips on this, seeking, receiving support. Model, ask, and help. Model your own supply lines. Talked about that. Ask other people about their supply lines. Who are you seeking out? And then help them find others. One of the biggest things is I coach church planners is I help them identify which one of these five am I to you? Because I cannot be all five. So you have to find the other ones. And then part of my coaching with them is saying, hey, last month I asked you to find two of these other people. Did you do that? Well, I found one of them. Are you actually meeting with them? No. I got a name. Okay, so now the goal in the next month is to actually meet with them. I'm a tail kicker if you didn't know that. So number one is model authentic faith. Number two is show how to seek and receive support. Number three is take the initiative. You heard me harp on this today. Take the initiative. Everyone's anxious, but let's make it happen. Let me give you some ideas of how to actually do this, and you can put this into action today. Number one is pray every day. Pray every day. What you pray for almost always starts to happen. People are like, oh, I just wish our church would reach more people and have evangelism. I coach pastors and they go, I wish our church would reach more people and grow. And I go, are you praying for that every day? And they go, no. You got to pray for it every day. If you pray every day, God's going to give you opportunities. Are you praying for our young people, our next generation in this church every day? If you're not, I want to challenge you to do that today. I want you to start today. I want you to find a way, grab one of our prayer cards and go to our information and resource table. We've just kind of updated that. It looks so great. Grab one of those cards and say, hey, I want to start doing every day praying for our next generation. Okay? Next thing you can do is open up your home, open up your car, open up your pantry, open up your food for the next generation. I would love today if we had almost everyone in the church walk up to Pastor Rachel and Pastor Serena and say, what do you need? My house is open. And they're like, oh, there's so many people. There's a line of people waiting to talk to me. I would love that. I would love that they just knew I could use any house in the church. I got vehicles for my next trip. I got people going, just sign me up for a date. I'll bring food to youth group. I got stuff for kids ministry. Just tell me what you need. I got an old this, this, and this. I don't know if you know, for years, we didn't buy almost any equipment in our kids ministry. People are like, I bought a new TV. Here's my old one. Here you go. You know, and it's just there. And there's TVs mounted in there that were donations or iPads or whatever. We just got to say, we have a heart for the next generation. We're going to make sure we give them our best. We live that out together. I want to encourage you today to go up to Pastor Serena, Pastor Rachel, and to say, what do you need? Or here's what I got. Open up your home. Open up your stuff. Just say, I'm here. I'm available. Whatever you need. And of course, you know that some of that's going to be then helping out. Right? And that might not be for everyone, But here's the thing we've always committed to. We're not going to start any other random ministry until we know our kids, our youth, and our young adult ministries are fully and strongly staffed. Right? Someone's like, I want to do the bird watching ministry. I'm like, no, we're going to need people in the nursery. Right? Watch children, not birds. Don't start watching birds while you're supposed to be in the nursery. Don't do that, okay? I don't want that. But focus on that, and then you can do bird watching through your life group. That's super cool. That's fine, right? But take the initiative and go up and live that out. And I tell you what, these things can just change you. It can change our ministry, and it can let our church continue to be what our church is. I don't know about you. I don't want to complain about the next generation. I want to invest in it. You may not know, but when this church started, I was a youth pastor, and I really wrestled with God. So I said, God, I love youth ministry. I have a heart for the next generation. And I felt like what the Lord was saying to me is, this church still is for the next generation. Except now, instead of being the youth pastor, you're going to be pastoring their parents and other adults to do youth ministry as an entire church. That's our heart. I want to know if you'll join me. I want to know if you'll put it into action today. Not just an idea, not just thinking about it. And of course, you can apply this to other areas of your life too. How to set this up for other people. But this year, my daughter, Janie, she got baptized. And it's one of the highlights of my year. And that didn't happen just because of Hannah and I. And it happened because she has this whole cloud of witnesses around her. She's got youth leaders. She has youth pastors. She's got these people pouring into. She has her extended family. But she also has someone in the church named Jane Johnson who went up to her, partially because they share the same name, and said, could I meet with you? And then she came to Hannah and I and said, could I just take your daughter out once a month for coffee and pour into her? And we're like, yes! And through that talking and that investment and that ups and downs, and it hasn't always been perfect, Janie on her own came to the spot where she said, Jesus is my savior and this is my faith. Not because I'm a pastor's kid. This is who I am. And that didn't happen just because of Hannah and I. In fact, she needed it not to be just Hannah and I. She needed it to be other people. And she was able to stand there at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Let's continue to be a church that intentionally pursues the next generation. And my hope, if you're in here, no matter what age you are, even if you're youth, sixth grade, that you will find a way to start pouring in to those younger than you are. Pray with me. God, thank you so much for everybody here. Such a wonderful day, such incredible worship, and just fun just thinking about you and how you have invested in us. Lord, almost everybody here would not be here if others had not poured into them and supported them and invested them. So Lord, I just pray that we can do the same thing for others inside the church and outside the church, but especially, Lord, for the next generation that's here. God, I pray that as soon as the service is over, we'll start taking it and putting it into action. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.